Free FM, Montreal.
KUT Radio 90.3 FM in Montreal.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Spitfire breathes the lives of women of color in Montreal. We come together to say no to the silencing of our voices.
That's a quote I saw on Google, though.
Long green, that's a long light, that's a sunbeam, that's a bright path in a dark world, that's a good fight for a dark girl on a surfboard in a rocky river, y'all poolside, we still deliver, that's a Wonder Woman, superhero was a black man and stayed y'all near, we gonna save them all, Nat Turner Tubman for the hate you give, still thugging, that secure life, Giovanni wrote it, Nikki, that's the real poet.
We welcome you to another edition of Spitfire. Spitfire is a monthly radio broadcast for women of color by women of color that airs every last Wednesday of the month on CKUT 90.3 FM. First off, Spitfire acknowledges that we are settlers on the traditional territory of the Gunaikahaka people. The Gunaikahaka are the keepers of the eastern door of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Spitfire believes it is not enough to just acknowledge the keepers of this land, and that everyone, ourselves included, should seek greater awareness and to actively confront colonialism and neocolonialism in their many forms, and work to deconstruct and decolonize. Starting points for self-education are reclaimturtleisland.ca and idlenomore.ca. This month, we will change up our format a little bit and go freeform, discussing everything and anything we please. Why? Because 2021 has turned out to be as heavy as its predecessor, and we are only 4 months into the year. Sometimes we need to allow ourselves room to be carefree and live for the moment. For this reason, we once again want to remind everyone to take time out to take care of themselves. It is emotionally, physically, and mentally exhausting to be POC these days. Do what you need to do to protect your peace. Turn off social media, take a walk outside, and rest. So stay tuned for this and more on Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Those transitions. Go ahead. Restaurants.
And like those developers that are buying up Chinatown. And yeah, like I think a big part of it has been sold to these developers who are known to be gentrifiers, who've like gentrified my land. And like they've had a lot of bad reviews as a company, but they just bought a big chunk of Chinatown, which is so fucking shitty.
Is it Achilles?
No, it's what are they called? Someone called Shirley and Kronbluth. I don't know what their names are, but they have like a lot of bad reviews, complain about being subjected to pressure to leave, like make people leave, and they were the reason why the Kajibri Cafe. Closed in 2018, and
it was because of them.
And
I'm assuming like they did this during the pandemic because of everything that was happening. They thought that was just like the prime time to move in and kind of just like,
people having less money and like to pay for rent and stuff.
I
don't know. I just feel like it's very strategic where they decided to like buy a property as well, because I feel like Chinatown itself is an institution. Like it's I feel like it is a landmark in Montreal, and not only that, but it's an important area for like the Asian community. Mm-hmm. And you're just gonna buy up everything.
And
especially now, when there's a lot of anti-Asian hate, like what is that?
One thing after the other, just like stacking up on that.
It's like, but I posted on my Instagram. Isn't that enough?
Oh my god!
Like
that's actually disgusting.
And it really is, and it just like
speaks volumes. It just speaks volumes to what has been going on, and just like, you know, anti-Asian rhetoric, and just the fact that they were brazen enough to, you know, tear down and like now attempt to like gentrify the area.
It's ugly. I think the city just needs to like step in, because that is, like you said, it is a historical landmark that should be protected. And like folks should not be allowed to own those spaces unless you're like, you know, it's too much history. So much has happened in that space for the city not to step in and actually do something to protect it. But that's also asking.
I thought they would. Like, so it's not official then? Like, it's unbelievable. I remember when my parents wanted, what was it? Was it to cut a tree or something? Anyways, they had to go through that whole thing. No, it wasn't to cut a tree. They wanted to cut a tree and my parents didn't want. Anyways, it was a whole thing just to say that, like, because of the patrimoine, like to do certain things, they have to ask for permission, even if it's like their house. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not even able to protect like Chinatown. That's actually,
well, they can if they like the city can protect this Chinatown if they want to.
Exactly.
But the fact is, they don't want to.
Yeah,
they're not, you know, they're just like, oh, you want to buy this, you have money, oh, we don't
right.
And it's just to go to what you were speaking to, like everybody, it's just like, and like Sam as well, it's just like when they want to take action, they will take action. Because even like for example, like my parents are trying to get like the tree in their front yard trimmed. And like they've called and just like no action, you know. But if that tree, God forbid, like falls and damages, probably then it's like my parents' responsibility, you know. It was on their property. So it's just like when it's in the interest of, you know, the majority, what do they care, right? And they're
majority, do you mean like majority of the people or like their majority?
Their majority, like, you know, as the entity, the organization with all the power, like if it benefits them, who are they to speak out against it? But they're going to put, like you were saying, you guys were just like, they're going to put out the hashtag, they're going to put out the Instagram post. But at the same time, behind the scenes, just be like, here we go, you know, let's push forward. And like, I would be very surprised if anybody knew about any of these buildings being torn down prior. It's like literally last minute being like, this is what's happening. We have got the permits. We've gotten the permissions we needed. So
late kind of
it's too late for you to say anything. Like the bulldozer's already on the lot. Like there's no way for you to be like, let me try and get an injunction. Let me try and fight this, because that in itself is another process. That's in itself is like a bunch of labor. That in itself is money that you need to have to be able to go through all that process.
Yeah. I hate how like all these, whether it's corporations, institutions, entities, how like they have so much power to like do oppressive shit where it's like the people, like it's us that have to do the work where, you know, we already have so much going on. It's like on the individual rather than actually seeing how much power they have that they could make like a positive impact for the world, the environment, the people, everything. So it sucks that we keep having to fight for things that like they should do, like they should fight about it for us. Like, why do we like,
And I think it's one of those like questions, like one of the big questions that we will continuously be asking. It's just, and I think we touched on it like at our last show, it's kind of just like, we're kind of forced to do all of this legwork in order to get like to step one, to get to level one. And even if we halfway get there, it's kind of just like, there's always these roadblocks that make it difficult, that makes us always have to re-ask the question, why is it so difficult? It's just basic, you know, basic requires. It's like your basic need, or it's a, you know, it's very simple. Like in essence, it's a very simple solution to a very big problem. And it's for them to be able to acknowledge like how they're being oppressive, how they're reinforcing like systemic racism, how they're reinforcing, you know, this colonial like mindset. But until they acknowledge it, and when I say they, I mean like those corporations, or just in terms of the majority, like white society, like recognizes their privilege and how like they are the ones to be the ones to change this, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We will ever get an answer to that. And unfortunately, like it makes it so like every conversation becomes kind of like centered around whiteness and centered around like white privilege, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the only way that we're going to do it is if we do it ourselves at the end of the day.
I'm like, I think that's what part of it. It's like, we can't keep asking people who have built these spaces, who have built these policies, who have built these environments to kind of like rebuild something different without like, because they won't. They build this for purpose and these things exist for a reason. And so I think I'm at a point, I'm tired of asking. It's time that as people, we just start organizing our own shit and start building on our own, because
for sure,
we've been asking for so long, and I don't even know if I really want something that comes from them, because it comes from a place that's not, doesn't include us. It'll just be the same shit that they're building.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. It's just, I think that's what, wait a second.
Kelsey.
Little doggy wants to join the show.
He has a lot to say. He's like, yes. Right. Come on now, boys, speak. Yes.
What should we build for the people? No, but like, yeah, I think that's what's frustrating, because like we have, I think it's empowering and it's beautiful that we can, that we can like build our own things with our own like, how do we call that? Like points? Yeah, what's the word? Like for points, like things that we like are important. For example, we want to build like a community center. Okay, but like according to like these things, these are the priorities and this is how it should be or whatever. Like, anyways, like, yeah, I think, yeah. Hey, no, it's frustrating, like the context of it, but it's beautiful when it happens, and it's very, like a lot of pride when it.
And I think like what you said, like once happened, and it's been happening. And I feel like regardless of this pandemic, it's just like, things may have slowed down on a very like surface level, like what we see in terms of like the economy, but in terms of like the social awakening that has happened in the last year.
Yes.
That I to my knowledge anyway, I feel like we haven't seen that on this scale.
For and sure.
It was just like by region. It was worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Some point it was worldwide where there were just mass protests against, for example, like police brutality or the fact or like protests about like the what do you call them? The oil lines being built and all of those getting shut down and just like this social awareness about like what's going on with like the global, you know, with global warming and environmental awareness. I feel that on so many levels was just amplified by the fact that you had to focus on one thing because there was nothing else to do but focus on these one things that are now having a voice that is like louder than normally would be. Like,
and they're all intertwined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because I think there's like two things. One is like all this, the uprisings and like the new global consciousness that's like arising. Like Black, Indigenous, and people of color have been doing groundwork for this moment to happen. And now that it's happening, I think the fact that what capitalism does so well is like distract us from what's happening actually within our society. It just keeps us in a loop of like work, work, make money, make money, make money, sleep, make money, make money, eat, consume, make money, consume, make money, consume. But this time is like we were forced to be inside and kind of like re-examine really what it means to work and consistently live in that type of cycle. Mm-hmm. And then realizing, oh, the society we live in is actually very, the majority of people are being harmed by the things that we are doing, the things we've built over these years. And so, I think
there's also like this connectedness with like the outside world through social media, like as much as it does harm, I think a lot of good came out of the use of social media because it was like your only way to connect.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, whether it be like trying to communicate with family, whether it was to get news, whether it was to get like information, whether we wanted to or not, we were glued to like our phones, we were glued to our computers because not only are you working, like, for example, for those who had to work from home, you had access to your computer. If you were, you know, going to school from home, you still had access to your computer, like for daycare or whatever it may be, it's just like you always had it. Like whether or not you were ordering or trying to cook or like everything was done through this
online
screen.
Yeah. Everything. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add that I think I saw something where someone was like, all these big television networks, media networks have been trying to kind of like talk about police brutality, anti-Blackness, but none of them have been able to get as much of the like the mess. Well, they were trying to talk about it without Black people first. And so I think what social media bought into this is like it brought our voice into the conversation. And there's such things as like, I don't want to see any videos of a Black person like losing their lives. I do not want to see that.
No, exactly.
You know? And, like you have a space where you're telling people like, hey, you don't need to show me this for me to know it's happening. I know it's happening. You can contribute in different ways, raise awareness in different ways, but please do not share these videos because it just causes more harm. And so it's just like, it opened up a space for us to have like a bigger discussion, but also include our own voices and multiple kind of voices, not just like you are the smartest one who got like the degree from Harvard. And so you're the token Black person who's going to talk for all Black people, you know? And so,
So true. So true. And what was I going to say? Include our voices. Yeah, I guess like what I wanted to say before was, and I 100% agree, it's true. I love Black Twitter, and I love that it's even called Black Twitter because it's a lot of power, and a lot of things have come from it. But yeah, like we were talking before about like building, and okay, two things. Yeah, about building. So I think it's really powerful. Like you said, Mercedes, like there's a lot of wrong about social media. It's a difficult relationship for me, at least, but the power of internet to build globally, like there's even that organization. I was on this random Zoom and this, this lady was talking about this organization for like speaking Creole, like it's random, whatever. But just to say that like there were activities and programs connecting families all over the world to kind of like come in together and check in and like share stories. And I just think, but originally it's supposed to be based in New York. Nobody would have heard about it if it wasn't for the pandemic. So I'm just like, how do you build those connections all across the world? Like, and build like some, I don't want to say institutions, but maybe, yeah, institutions like for us, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really intrigued of like what that can look like and also what that will look like post pandemic.
Well, I think it's about adaptability, right? Because they had to adapt to the situation. They had to find a way make sure that whatever message they wanted to get out there or whatever they wanted to offer to the community was available given the circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things, I think, where it's either you float or you sink, depending on your approach. So if you were going to just assume that, you know, in 2 weeks, everything would be back to normal, people would be able to come to, for example, the community centers or go to the after-school program and sit in a classroom the way that they used to, then you would have struggled over the last few months because, one, a lot of people were not going out. Two, they didn't have the means to anymore to get, like, move around, whether it be, like, public transportation or other. So it was, what can I do with the resources that I have that's not going to break my bank, the bank of the community, but also is something that, you know, is accessible to the extent that, you know, most people will be able to access this, right? So I just think maybe post-COVID, it'll definitely stay because I think people like the fact they have an option where they don't have to forcibly rearrange their lives and schedules to try and fit into blocks versus having it just like, if I want to be like on the phone, learning my lessons and going out and doing, you know, my groceries at the same time, this is now an option for me, you know? Right. And
it's more sustainable in a way
also. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like we've, like, a lot of disability activists have been doing this work for so long and doing their work online and utilizing these spaces to kind of communicate. And I'm thinking about what you're talking about, Anne-Audrey, these connections that are being made online. Like, I have made, like, communities online with, like, meeting, like, a person who started like this book club talking about like all about love, like meeting with like a group of folks from like all around the world. And we're like analyzing this text and talking about what love looks like in our communities and how we love. And I'm just like, this is fucking revolutionary work that we're having these global discussions and we're able to like have these conversations. It's for me has been like the highlight has come out of this, to be able to have conversations that are meaningful on a global scale.
Definitely very jealous of those of those circle, but it's really cool because I remember, you know, back in the day when like podcasts, like it would start, but like it's something that you consume, it's not something that you engage with like live or like you go on blogs or whatever, but it's it's really nice that we go back to these what these communities have been advocating for, and now we're like, oh yeah.
it took us a while to get here.
Yeah,
I think now that we see, you know, the impossible is possible. There's really no limit now, and there's no excuse really to say that this is not an option, because clearly it was an option. It has always been an option. There was nothing to force their hands to make it mandatory,
right,
to live this way.
Yeah,
because like you're saying, it's, you know, people have been this situation, for example, like this online connectivity has always been in discussions. It's always, like you were saying, Sam, it has always been in discussions.
Yeah.
It's nothing new. It's nothing revolutionary. I think it's just now we've caught on and understand what the conversation is.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
It takes it makes you take a step back to be like, I really need to keep my ears open now and really be in tune to what everyone is saying in various communities. Nothing, everything comes full circle, right? Everything is a cycle. Everything is circular, regardless, whether it be fashion, food, or technology. It's just one little tweak or one little adjustment here and there. But it's really how open we are to these conversations, I think.
And also just like we're evaluating, I think, the people within our communities that we've been like leaving out within discussions that we usually have as like the majority, like, I don't know, I'm speaking as a Black person, so I'm like the Black community. And so it's like, we're leaving out deaf people. How are we engaging with those communities? How are we engaging with people who are blind? And like, how are we creating materials, creating content that they can still access? I think it has, really opened, or not opened, but just made it more clear and call to action about how we show up for each other.
But I do. Most of my songs are fast.
I mean, what do you put into it?
Well, whatever I sing, that's what I really mean. Like, I'm singing a song. I don't sing it if I don't mean it.
Pro sangue da minha garra, people da minha terra sabe a guerra da senzala. Lago gestando cozinha cheia de mancara, verde nas ruas, amarelo na minha cara. E cara feia não há. Negative vibes não há. Difícil ir ao espelho sem questionar a identidade. Imagina a bonança vir antes da tempestade. Impor respeito, respeitar outro tipo de verdade. Confete e conclui, deixar de lado a dignidade. Yeah. He is black. He's right. Sempre na linha, mas nunca no mesmo pai. Sem olhar pra trás, eu sinto ré, mas digo nasce. E no fim do dia, eu só quero brindar com uma deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-la. Morê, babam, ye-ye-ye-ye. Problema se tua fez, ye-ye-ye. Yeah. Deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-deg-la. Morê, babam, ye-ye-ye-ye. Problema se tua fez, ye-ye-ye. Do meu bairro lá do topo ninguém pode ver. Eu na escalada subi com o bairro nas costas. Afrolatinos nas novelas gritam mira-me, dando voltas. Uns querem agudos, querem atenção. Uns pedem magutos, pedem lição. Uns ao pé do mar, outros ao pé do vulcão. Deus na mão nas costas pra não cair no chão. Eu não procuro vidas pra mim. All you say for you got money. Eu só quero uma legacy. 100% agente de jealousy.
It's okay. We've made it this far.
Have we?
As Kendrick Lamar says, we gon' be alright.
Yes.
The king.
We will. I mean, I think there's a lot to look forward to. There really is.
I can't wait to go dancing, man.
Oh. Yeah, I'm
actually having that conversation with a friend, just to be out and just that energy.
Yes.
You get from the music and you get from the people and you be like, just
yes,
each other up, or even if it's not each other, it's just like you're in your moment.
Yeah.
Just you and the music and like no one cares. Like no one is checking you.
No one. Yeah.
Good. Everything's good. Atmosphere's good. But those are the days.
Do y'all remember your last dance party that you went to?
I don't. I think my last one was. God, I don't even know.
So far away.
It really was. And I don't even think, like, even prior to the pandemic, I had gone out. I think it was more like, you know, little house party get together kind of things. That's but it's nice. To go out like clubbing.
Whatever, dancing with people. That's any kind of dancing with people.
Any kind of dance? That was just like this, the year before mm-hmm. everything kind of shut down.
Yeah. The year before?
You so mean like 2019, like summer 2019 was the last time like I was out dancing with anybody.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Pandemic was in March, right? Sorry. I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
Pandemic was March 13th, 2020, when everything shut down. But who knows? They might have come in before that. But for us, it was just like talks of it happened like end of 2019.
Yeah.
And then officially, like in March 2020.
True.
But yeah, it would have been the summer before. So like the summer before. Mm-hmm. Like fall came because like I wasn't really going out for fall. I'm like,
But, I mean, you're busy.
No, it was just cold.
Makes sense.
Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah. I don't even remember, but you know, when I think of going out, I think of like so many different moments. Like when you're drunk and you go to the bathroom and you're just like, the music's in the background.
I don't miss that. I really don't. I think that was like one of the worst things for me. It was just like having to use the bathroom when like you're out.
Yeah.
Because like they're always so dirty. There's never any toilet paper. You're always stepping in unknown liquid. I think like the only thing is like when you're there and like hyping each other up, be like, girl, you look good. Like makeup, yeah. Like running, but it's just like, we're in it together kind of thing. Like that female solidarity. Like, I don't know what it is. In the bathroom, but so that was just like I don't miss that. I don't. Wow. Miss that.
I found the beauty in that dirty moment.
I couldn't. I really couldn't.
I think the last one that I remember vividly is like I don't think we went to what was her name? She was performing. A musician by Concordia. I can't remember what her name is, but it was like they had really great DJs. I think it was the one night that I went out. I don't really go out a lot, but I think that was the one night that I went out. And then I miss Calmunity. Calmunity was my jam.
Yes. And oh my God.
I miss them so much.
Me too. Just live music. Live music is something else.
Yeah.
My favorite stranger in Montreal is the. There's a man in Place Saint-Henri. No, Aliano Gros. He always plays his little violin.
I remember seeing him.
Yeah, he's so amazing.
Level.
He's very talented. Like, don't touch his violin, obviously, because that's just rude and he'll cuss you out. But I have had a few moments of, like, niceness with him. Yeah, it was like seeing him play. And yeah, he makes me happy.
I don't even think like I've been on public transportation 3 times during this pandemic.
Wow. I haven't been. That's crazy.
Like it's so crazy to say like to think that we actually got on buses and in metros and we're I think the only upside to this is just like the distance part because honestly, like, if I think about it, like, why were we so close in...
Montreal metros?
Why were we so close?
That shit is kind of still like that. Not as close really? As it was, but people be still... Yeah. I've been on, because, I didn't have a bike in a minute, and I had to take the metro. But the first time was weird. It felt very strange. But, yeah, there's definitely still people, and... I don't know. I guess Montreal, we love each other too much. So,
that's a funny way to put it.
It makes me think like half the things I think about now is just like I wasn't thinking about that
before
COVID. Like, it's okay for me to tell someone like back up. Like, why are you in my space? Like, it's okay for me to do that. Or like when I'm walking, like it's okay for me to be in line and just like casually like distance myself from people. Mm-hmm.
You know,
like it's okay. Or like wiping down things, like I would never think to wipe down anything. Like grocery carts, like I was not thinking about doing that prior to this pandemic. Because I would just like wipe my hands after, like with Purell, like after I'm done. But like touching the carts now, I'm just like, I was really like it was nothing. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Putting, like, I feel like
the way without wiping them down. What? Like, no. I
feel like they just got dirtier, to be honest, the cards, because I feel like they've been trying to clean them, but that's no one's true. Actually doing a good job at cleaning them. Oh, so now the dirt is just on the surface.
Oh my God.
Like before, I remember, like when they first started, it would be like vigorously wiped down.
Yeah.
Now, one little squirt, like, here you right. go. I can't be bothered. Like, I'm not paid enough to do this. Like, actually, okay. Like, I'm not paid enough to do this. Like,
it's true, though. Like, no. They're not paid enough. Yeah.
So now it's just like a one squirt. If you get a squirt,
I don't know why I'm like put off squirt. By squirts.
Yeah.
Isn't there another word? And he kept repeating it. I was like, damn, so it's gotta be a squirt.
I'm call it a sproosh. Like,
sproosh. Push, push. Heard of that.
A push, push.
Like, you can say squirt if you want to.
Squirt, no squirt, squirt, squirt.
Wait.
Oh my God.
Squirt, squirt, squirt. Oh.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
It'll be something else, but no. But it's okay. Yeah. I don't know what else to call it. But yeah. But it's just like all these things, like I would have never actually like thought about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even watching shows, it's weird. Or like anything. Yeah. I'm like, damn, okay, they're hugging. Like, was that before or after? Like you know, like when it's like a movies or TV shows when everyone, because I guess, you know, like it's more expensive now to make them happen, because like they have to like do testing every day and stuff, but like to not see the realities that we live in the shows, I'm always like, damn. But also like I wish
I don't I'm like I think Blackish, I think I saw like a snippet of them and they were talking about COVID and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? No
right.
No. I think the season right now they're it's like really? In real life, so it's like it's they're that's talking weird. About these times, and I'm just like, I
don't they're know. Not over.
No,
maybe 10 years, but
Sissa, it has to be in retrospect.
They covered it in the beginning, like the first like 2-3 episodes, and that was it. And it's, you know, life as usual, work as usual.
Yeah.
But was an essential worker, but that was
just in the beginning. She stopped. You know, we're just not talking about it.
You know, like, all right, cool. It's great.
Thank Jesse you. Ellis Ross, I'm just she's almost fucking 50, and I'm like, you so fucking, I'm like, amazing. Let's get married, because wow, yeah.
Honestly, so what's your sign?
Yeah.
Give her flowers. Like, there's so many like underappreciated, like, you know, walk actresses out there,
and I
need to appreciate them now before like they're gone. Like,
oh my God,
100%.
Yeah, you know, DMX, that actually really like broke my heart.
Really?
Yeah, because every time he would, well, broke my heart, you know, it's not like I was terrible, like, come on now, but I was sad because what's up, Sam? Nah. You gotta share now that you put yourself on mute.
No. It's just like, it's you talking about how you love your hair was broken, but then keep going though. That was just funny to me.
Oh my God. Is that cream? Yeah, no, it's because I know that like it's been a struggle for him. Like addiction has been a struggle for him, but every time he would be, what's the word? Sober? Free? Mm-hmm. No. Anyways.
Sober? Yeah.
Sober.
Yeah, when he was sober, like, and he looked so happy, especially lately. I remember posting a video on my new page. But, he just looked so happy. And it made me happy to see him happy. And it's, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, struggling with addiction and mixed that with COVID, apparently. is just like, yeah, and like him being part of like, you know, all these songs. I don't know. It's
that marks your childhood.
Yeah. And it's weird. I don't know why. Like, it's so random. Like, other people have paths, but like this one, I was like, damn. I guess because it was recent that like I was thinking about his like well-being, and I was like, oh nice, like you're happy, wanting to be there for your children and stuff. Like, anyway, yeah. Random slice.
It was a personal connection that, you know, you drew from that, and that's okay. And you're allowed to have it affect you, because like you said, you were one thinking about him. His music was also part of your childhood. Like, you followed his journey, you know?
I mean, I didn't follow, but
you knew of it. So
there, yeah,
you
go. Definitely. And actually I was on YouTube, and like I got like a, I don't know why it wasn't in my home thing, but you know, they had like an event in his honor.
Are you talking about the memorial?
No, yeah, like event. They had a party. Listen, I'm like,
and like people doing the most nowadays, like,
but they'd be doing the most.
But yeah, true. But yeah, and it's so cliche, but Swiss Beats, I don't know if it was his first song with DMX or DMX first song with him. Anyways, they're like tightly connected. And he was saying how, like, you know, seeing people, like, he was really close to him. So seeing people, like, being there, he's also like, well, you know, some people are not, you know, are saying that, like, they're there after the fact, but when he needed them, they weren't there. And, like, how when he dies, he doesn't want anybody that, like, is not, you know, there for him throughout his lifetime to come up at the memorial to be like, yeah, like this guy, whatever. And then he was like, why not? And I know it's cliche, people have said that before, you know, like, why not being there for each other and like cherishing each other, celebrating each other while we're here, instead of waiting until it's the moment where the person passes. And again, I don't know why, like, that time I was like, that's so true, and I know it was true before, but like, I don't know, maybe because I'm thinking about death more lately. I don't know.
Why is that?
Well, aging parents, you know, it's
the circle also, of life.
Yeah, and also us growing up, like, when I listen to like throwback songs and it's like, yo, it came out 15 years ago, and I'm just like, damn, am I that old? Like, that used to be a classic back in the day. Like, I burned that on a CD. Like,
yeah, I mean, it does make you think about your own mortality. And yeah, it's true. It's like you're saying, like parents are getting older, we're getting older, like, we yeah. have all of this experience, but like, we're also more aware of like life at this mm-hmm. point. Like, mm-hmm. we already have almost 30 years of it. Like, who would have thought, like, 10 years mm-hmm. ago, like, when we were 18 or whatever, like, this is where we would have been. Like, that wasn't a thought. Like, growing up, yes, it's a thought that we all want to be adults. We want that freedom. We yeah. think we yeah. think
until we get there.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
I was dumb. Like, I should have just taken
right. it
the time that I had. Why was I so quick to grow up? And I think
yeah. it comes
with that level of maturity, right?
Yeah. When
just like you were saying, like, these thoughts about like life and death, and those who are with you in the beginning versus those who are going to be with at your end, right? And those that were not necessarily there, but all of a sudden it's just like, when you're no longer there for them to say what they need to say,
that's yeah. what comes
out. And it's unfortunate yeah. because you would have liked to hear them say that to your face rather than when you're like 6 feet in the ground,
right?
But, I mean, right. I feel that comes with a certain level of wisdom. And mm-hmm. if we didn't go through the experiences that we did all those years ago, I feel like, you know, it makes it sound like we've been on this planet 60 years. I haven't gone through right? all those years ago.
I don't think, like, your babies.
You know, and like, I don't think it would have like formed our opinions the way it had today. Yeah. You know, yeah. and those songs that are throwbacks, like,
that's us now, but imagine our parents when we were listening to like the music that they were listening to.
Right.
That's a throwback for them. And then for like our kids, whatever, you know, music they're going to be listening, that's a throwback for them.
Yeah.
And like, it's always associated with like a period in life. Like it's.
Yes. And also to hear them sampled, I'm like, am I that old to hear a song from today being sampled from like when it came back in my days? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, what you know about this? And just like.
Right. What came out?
I was this many years old and I know exactly where I was and who I was with. And like,
yo, those YouTube comments are the best. I remember when this came out in 1977 in the club, at that club, I was with my homegirl and we were rocking the dance floor.
That's
like, there was no tomorrow. Like, okay, story time. I love YouTube comments.
But that's what we are. And this is the point where we're at right now. And even regardless if it's like music or if it's shows, like, yeah, I think I mentioned it's like another show where I was just like, at some point I went through like the nostalgia period where all I was watching was just like all the shows from like the 2000s, like 1990s, 2000s, the whole shebang. For whatever reason, that's where my mind went to.
But that shit's good.
That's what I was listening to. Music, same thing. Went back there. I got myself a Tamagotchi. I said this on the other show.
Oh, like, true. Yes. How's that going?
I put it on pause. It was really annoying.
I'm sorry. This shit, basically.
I'm too old, but it was just like, I had one, like my, the alien that I got was like really good. And like, he didn't eat too much, like very tame. Like I disciplined him. Like it was great. This new one, like, because this is the thing apparently a lot of like millennials didn't know about Tamagotchis is that they leave. They don't just die.
No, what?
If you take care of it long enough, that determines how long they stay on Earth because they're aliens. So once they feel that they can leave, they will leave and then you start a new egg. They don't just die off and that's the end of your Tamagotchi. So my alien, my first one, like went back to whatever planet they come from and I had to start and hatch a new egg. But this one is just like constantly hungry all the time. So just beep all the time. I'm just like, I can't. So then I put it on pause. And that was another thing people didn't know about, is that you can pause your Tamagotchi. So my Tamagotchi is on pause until further notice.
What?
You see what I mean?
What?
Yeah, you can pause your Tamagotchi.
I did not know that.
As a kid who did not grow up in the North America, is this a real alien? This is a...
So basically, Tamagotchi is like this... automated, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's kind of like this handheld, like, digital pet that you take care of, like a real pet. So, like, you feed it, like, if it gets sick, you give it medicine, you play games with it. And it was really, really big, like, back in the day. Like, every kid had one. Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't have one, you were not cool, the kind of thing, you know? Mm. It was on a keychain, so like you would take it everywhere, and like it's just like four buttons where it's just like it's nothing, you know, extensive or like fancy. It's just really just a toy, basically. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like you have to try and keep it alive. But the thing is, if you don't feed it, then it dies, kind of thing. If you neglect it, it dies. So people, well, if it died, they just let it die, and then you forget about it, and it's on to the next, you know, gimmick. Mm-hmm. Comes out. But I never had one when I was younger, so I decided, you know what, I was feeling nostalgic about my childhood. I went and I got myself one, but now I understand, like, it was really annoying. So I'm glad I have it, because now I can say, like, I had a Tamagotchi. I go back to it later on in the year, but it was like one of those things where just like in the moment, it, like, catches your attention. Then after a while, when you're bored, and it's, like, I understand why kids put it to the side, because after the hype is gone, like, the hype is gone.
You're like, we're good. We can move on now.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. So it's really just, like, this digital pet that is, like, in an egg-shaped, you know, toy. Well, not really toy, but, like, and you just carry around. So that's what that was. But
yeah, yeah, I'm sure your inner child was happy. Like, yes,
Christmas. Like, it really was. Like, and to like choose it and to pick it out and get it ordered, and like the first day, like set it up.
Yeah,
all there. It was all there, and I probably will do this down the line, like later on, maybe like 3 years from now. Who knows? I might get like an Easy Bake Oven because I've always wanted an Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's really
important
to like feed our inner children with things that we weren't, you know, our folks weren't able to provide for us. I'm like, I'm very, very.
Exactly. It's like, now I got Tamagotchi, because my parents are not about to be spending any money on that. Not a dime. So, I mean, whether you call it materialistic, maybe, I think it was, you know, self-pleasure, not in that way, but just like in terms of, you know, making myself happy. And that was that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, I've been doing a lot of inner child thing as well, making my inner child happy, like learning how to skateboard. I've like always wanted to. And last summer I was like, finally, I was like, let's do it. I'm like, we're just going to get it. We're going to go in the park and fall by ourselves. And it was beautiful. And I just felt really happy. I was like, yes, inner child, this is what we always wanted.
Are you going to do it again this summer?
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I need to find a parking lot so I can go and practice. Yeah.
Oh, and they will be empty too.
Mm-hmm. I will. I hope so. Yeah. And I'm like, I really want to get like a sewing machine so I can learn how to sew. Like all these things that I've like never did as a kid. And I'm like, I want to do them now.
The bucket list of endless activities.
Mm-hmm. And like, you try them twice and you're like, okay, great, bye.
I did it. Check it off the list. On to the next one. I feel like that's, I mean, it's the little things in life, right? I mean, life's too short. Might as well do it. If we're not going to do it now, then when? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of like the book list where it's like you have like all these books and all these things you want to watch and all these shows. But it's just like, you know, don't put it off. Just do it.
Yeah. I was like, my reason for taking the school year off was to finish a book. My biggest reason, because I was like, I really want to read this book, but it's too long and I haven't had time to read it in school. So Miss Panorama was just a beautiful excuse to be like, we're done, we're just gonna read in this
book. And this is the time, you know, this is the time when we're looking for things to do. Like, since we can't go out or can't do things that we normally would have done, like outside of this, you know, Pandora's box of virus. But, you know.
I see y'all. By the way, I think I missed an important bout.
No. You just, like, I was talking about my Tamagotchi, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's just like, this is the time to do those things now. Like, it's not necessarily feeling a void. I think it's just trying to keep that, you know, serotonin going without having to necessarily put everything on pause and sacrifice everything that we've already sacrificed, you know?
Yeah. I think
also like our childhood.
Go ahead.
Our childhood is very, I don't know, I feel like kids are, it's just how we live in, we're made to kind of grow up and like, I don't know, or needs and wants are always dismissed, or it's like our parents don't have the means to provide the things we want, and now that we have the capacity to be able to offer those things to ourselves, and so it's like, yes, go get that, I don't know, projector, I'm like, I don't know, coloring book, that piano, learn how to play that piano, you know, learn how to play that clarinet. But
yes.
Anyway,
yeah.
And hey, what are you doing for your inner child?
Well, I subscribe to a magazine that's kind of like expensive, but but I've been wanting to, and it's the kind of thing where when I want things, I tend to like not get them, but get something that would make more sense, quote unquote. But it's like, what the fuck am I doing? If I really want that, like, why not? So I've been putting that off. And also like, I paid for this much of food and this like toy from like for my dog, and it's like I can't even get myself a magazine. Like, so I ordered it. I mean, I subscribed, I think for a year or two, I don't know. But I'm excited because I received the copy, and now I just want to like make time for it, you know, to kind of like, I remember like back in the day when I would like read magazines, but it was often like the magazines that I was subscribed to, it was really white. So I didn't feel like, it was never really a Black person. It was like, if there's a Black person, it's going to be a mixed person. And I mean, okay, people of color, but it's not, it, you know how, I feel like a lot of like, white media thing or marketing things, it's often like, oh no, like we have like a Black dad, a white mom, and a mixed child, like that's diversity for you, you know, but like as if that was the answer, like the answer is like mixed, you know, like anyways, all that to say that I didn't feel represented, so it feels good to like subscribe to a magazine that not only like highlights Black voices, not only, but like it highlights Black voices, but also in the arts world, like something that I didn't really think was, you know, possible when I was younger. So it feels good. I also did a vision board.
Oh,
yes.
Very good. Very good.
What magazines are they?
Oh, it's, no, I'm like, is it that good? I haven't read it yet.
You don't have to say.
It's bomb. It's called Bomb. I read a lot of things on their website, so I was like, their magazine must be good then. Yeah.
Keep us updated.
Yeah, I will. I love how you're disappearing in your background. I'm like, where's your soul? Is your soul with us?
Up into the abyss. No, because like I'm trying to like charge my laptop at the same time, but it doesn't reach my desk because it's plugged into another socket. So I just have to wait until it charges. If not, like you will lose me. So it needs to charge a little bit, but it should be good now. I should be visible.
Oh,
I'm back.
What's going on? Now it's a new filter.
Is I changed the filter?
Hello.
No, the inner child is very important.
Yeah.
I think it's a part of our journey that at some point we need to revisit to not forget.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening in to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. As usual, we would like to formally and continually share this space with all of you listening. We want to hear your voices, all Black, Indigenous, and women and femmes and non-binary folks of color. We want to hear your voice. This is a platform for you as well. Please reach out if you want to talk about your next project or join our conversations. So Spitfire Women of Color broadcasts every last Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. If you are a femme of color and want to be part of the space, this is a platform for you too. Please reach out. You can write to us at spitfire@ckut.ca, and we are easily reachable on our Facebook page named Spitfire Women of Color Radio. And since this month we were freeform, you can also find the list of songs. Enjoy your evening, y'all.
Desires. Now I don't want to be the one to doctor this, but if you can't feel pain, then you can't feel the opposite. The fight between between the yin and yang's a fight you'll never win. I study humans, that makes me an anthropologist. I'm not into politics, but I know it's dark times. Parts of the world still living in apartheid. But if I don't take this winner's flight, that's career suicide. Though I should have been a friend when your grandma died. I see the illness, see my aunt laying in her bed. I see her soul rising as her body gets closer to death.
Welcome to Amandla, 1 hour of African current affairs brought to you here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. I am sitting virtually with Doug Miller. And Doug, you've pulled together for the show a nice series of podcasts from varied sources. So why don't you tell us about what's in store for this week?
Well, it's been about 2 or 3 years I've been surfing the African cyberspace looking for podcasts that are relevant to the kind of show we pull together. And I must say the terrain has gotten richer and richer all along. And I'm very impressed with the kind of stuff that's out there. And in fact, I'm cutting back now. I used to have struggled to find things to put up. I've got four pieces. One is by Human Rights Watch, and it's a follow-up on one they did last year on the Gambia Truth and Justice Committee or Commission, and that's looking at the terrible atrocities of the Jamaya regime, and trying to establish some form of coming back together as a society, because it was a brutal. My goodness, must have been 15 or 17 years the man was in power. And so they're looking at that, and it's there's only